Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I'm breaking my real bad. I'm breaking my real bad.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show.
Let me say this before you go, okay? Yes. Before you get going here real quickly. I have enjoyed these 2 hours, and they have flown by.
That's where we always say that we know it's the sign of a good show when you look up and realize you've already gotten through 2 hours and there has been no lulls and no breaks, and that's because of you, too. So we appreciate you being here.
It ain't fair, man.
Look, it's not our fault that you love Patrick Crayton.
You knew he was going to throw a jab somewhere.
I know, right there.
At some point, there's a reason why that we have to keep reinforcing these walls, because half the time we hear your show while we're doing ours, because Pat can project.
That's my guy, man. But you know I love you too, bro. So, no, you know, this is
Nick's
killing it in there, man.
Congratulations to Patrick Crayton, because I know he's got a show that's going to debut on ESPN 97.5, I believe, on the 23rd, right?
7 to 9
right after the Blitz.
So wait a minute. So he's doing, because I actually was a guest on the 9 to Midnight show.
Were you?
Yeah.
He did that to you?
So yeah, exactly. And he was trying to do it at like 10:45. I go, Pat, I got a kid. And I got a wife that's already in bed.
Did he ask you to come in the studio?
No.
I can see him trying to do that.
Because he knew
he
already.
He tries to pull a Nate. You know, I'm going to get him to come in the studio.
That ain't happening.
I don't blame
you. So I said, what other time slots you got? And he's like, well, the meat of the show. I go, I'm not worried about meat and potatoes, Pat. I'm helping you out. 9:40, I'll do. 10:30, 10:45, you can call. I may not answer.
Yeah, I'm asleep. That's why he won't call me. I'm sleeping.
And you know, the schedule.
Yeah, I got to get up 2 o'clock in the morning. So, no.
So does my wife.
How do you do it, Nate? 2 o'clock in the morning?
So does Lisa.
Do it,
man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She does. It's 3 for her, right? Or 2 is
no,
about the same time?
She has to leave the house at 3.
Wow.
And, you know, chicks do more. You know, I know Nate's a pretty boy and all that, but
whatever,
Nate doesn't have
man.
To worry about hair, makeup, and curlers and all that other stuff.
No, thank God.
She does all that at home before she leaves. So you got to be up earlier to do all
that. I still can't believe it. Not to criticize the media outlet. They don't have their own little makeup artists and stuff like that.
Used to.
A lot of them did.
Cuts, right?
Now, there's some that still do. When you're the franchise over at Channel 2, you get whatever you want. But other than that, most of the people are on their own.
Yeah, for the most part. I know we are, the reporters. I'm not quite sure about Melissa Wilson and Jose Grignon, but I know that, we certainly are.
Now, I can tell you this, too, because being over at Channel 2 for Sports Sundays, their news facility is fantastic, but they actually have like a makeup room for males and a makeup room for females.
Yeah.
Not that they're providing the makeup artist, but at least it's the mirrors and the lighting and all that other stuff. But the other thing that, Nick, you might not be aware of, and to Nate's credit, he can also relate to this and speak on this. Reporters not only are expected to be in the field and just look, do their makeup and be ready, but more and more stations are getting to the point where you're not only in front of the camera, but you are the one filming it, especially if it's not a live shot.
Consolidating. Yeah,
so yeah, you're bringing the sticks and the camera and setting it up and then framing it so that you know you're on camera and shooting your own stuff. And that's really hard.
They're actually starting to warn, like at University of Houston, because I haven't been in the business like you two, they're warning students that about that now. They'll tell you that they'll teach you the traditional way. There's an audio guy, there's a video guy, there's talent.
Right.
That's the traditional way, right, Nate?
Yep.
Now they're telling you, be prepared to hold a heavy camera, the mic, do the audio, do your own editing. It's just the way it's going to. That's the trend.
I have a folk talk, and his name is Stu Brown, and he's been in the business a long time. Guy's great. He knows what he's doing. And, Joe, you've met him because we've had you on the show as well on Fox 26 in the morning. If it's not for him, I probably wouldn't be able to do my job.
Yeah,
as a reporter.
And so there you're seeing, that's what Nate is saying is what we're trying to get you to realize. There are two full-time jobs involved in the process, and now they're trying to consolidate and have one person do those two jobs. And especially if you're on a time crunch and you're trying to make deadline, all that stuff.
It's too tough, man.
It's hard, man. And here's the other thing. Then the other thing people don't realize, in studio, they're going to automated systems. So yes. A lot of times when you see the two things that you need to pay attention to when you're watching the news. One, if the anchor has their hand on the desk and it looks like they got a remote control, they're controlling their own teleprompter. Yeah. Used to have a human being following the speed and the pacing right. of the voice.
When I'm in studio, I'm controlling my own.
That's the
I
thing.
Have a teleprompter in, I have the teleprompter control in my hand.
That's what you look for.
Yes, sir.
Here's another big part. The cameras are now getting automated as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's no more cameramen and camerawomen operating those cameras and getting those shots and focusing and doing all those things.
Robotic.
It's all robotic.
So it's one guy controlling the robotic arms of all these cameras.
You still
right?
have some of them in are there pre-programmed. Because you have to because yeah. they're not perfect. Sometimes they make mistakes too.
Right.
For the most part, yeah, that's it. Fewer people.
So you think you're saving money, but the thing is, problems are easier to correct when a human being knows exactly what happened mm-hmm. and why. Mm-hmm. They're a lot more difficult and look a lot worse when it's a computer and you're not fit. You have to figure out what's wrong with the computer. Is it a glitch there? Is it with the camera?
Yep.
Where did it happen and why and how do we stop it again? That's where it can go from segment to segment to segment mm-hmm. and really make you look bad, but they're saving money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that's allegedly. The way the business has turned into. Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, be careful what you wish for. Save a penny,
spend a dollar?
Something like that. Yeah.
Whatever.
Spite your
face.
Where are
the calls, man? Where are the calls? What's your number?
713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Let me check and see if we got any text. Has been texting his butt off.
I
want
to talk to some listeners today, man.
What do you want to talk to them about? Tease something.
I don't care. If they call and they have a topic, we're good.
713-780-3776.
Wow, how about this? Wait, is that Nate Griffin? I love him in the mornings. Replace Jose with Nate.
Uh-oh.
See, I already know, Nate. You would never... Nate's too good of a guy to say.
Well, not only
like
that, Jose's my brother-in-law, so I can't do that.
Oh, there you go. All in the family, people. All in the family.
But thank you for the compliment. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, you Mike, continue to text, because that one's not good enough to make the air. So Mike's been in there trying to throw his 2 cents in, and it's not worth a penny. So we'll continue to poo-poo on that. Nick, you can read it if you want. No, you can't. I'm going to delete it. As we continue to roll on, there was a story that I wanted to get to for you guys that I thought was absolutely bizarre and crazy and also funny in the same way. The Seattle Mariners, who the Astros just got done playing in a road trip, are about to hit the road. And ironically, their announcers, and I say plural, announcers, are going to miss the road trip because of injuries. Rare, you say in itself, that two announcers miss the same trip with injuries.
That's right.
But do I dare tell you that it's even more rare that both injuries occurred in the same pickup basketball game on the road the last time the team was visiting Minneapolis during this season?
That's strange, JB.
How weird is that?
That is weird.
So as the story goes, Rick Riz, the Iron Man of Mariners Broadcasting, he was trying to plead with his doctor as they finished up the homestand against the Astros, asking if his injury could wait, and the doctor said, "You've already waited too long." With that, he agreed to schedule surgery on his left bicep for this Friday to be performed in Seattle and therefore miss his first trip in 44 years of broadcasting, including 32 with the Mariners. He said he'll be in a brace for 7 days and he'll be fine. But here's the more ironic thing. The injury happened during a basketball game in which he was reaching for a steal and tore his bicep. Okay? In the same game, his fellow broadcaster, Dave Sims, who's 65 and playing hoop on the road,
rolling.
Tore his Achilles, and he's scheduled to have surgery today. Riz is the Mariners' radio voice, as I mentioned, 32nd season. I believe Charlie Polillo said that Dave Sims is their TV voice. So a voice on either side, a TV guy and a radio guy, both get hurt, same pickup game, both missing the road trip after long careers in broadcasting. First of all, kudos to a 65-year-old guy still playing hoop.
That is amazing. You got to be able to keep your body in shape in order to be able to do what we do. You want to keep your voice real strong.
Sure.
Keep your pipe strong. That is amazing, 65 years old. If he's doing television, he must be doing like middle innings on radio or something because you know he's got to start the game
right.
doing TV, so yep. probably middle inning relief is what he provides. Kind of like what we saw here in Houston with some of the announcers.
When Milo used to go back and forth,
yeah.
too,
yeah.
from radio and TV.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you got a little insight into the broadcasting world as well as a little bit more sports. Patrick, we see you want to talk NBA playoffs, so we'll switch gears and get into a little hoop next. Don't go anywhere. Much more of Nate Griffin, Nick, and Joel, and the Usual Suspects crew on an FEF Friday right here on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I approve this message.
By God.
magic in me.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The man, the myth, the legend. If you want to reach Nate Griffin at Color Analyst on Twitter, as well as at The Producer Nick at Pac-Man Joel with a K, we are having a good time with the listeners today. You guys have been great between the phone calls, the tweets, and, oh, you Mike, you suck, but the rest of the text the rest of the text messages have been just fine as we continue to roll on in what has been an absolutely fun Friday for FEF Friday. And with that, we've covered a lot of ground, covered a lot of topics, and we're back on NBA playoffs because Patrick wants to get in here. Patrick, what's up?
So I have a couple of questions. First, when, and I did say when, LeBron James does not make it to the NBA Finals this year, possibly not even the Eastern Conference Finals, will we stop with the comparisons to Michael Jordan? And then the second question is, when the Rockets do not make it to the finals, does James Harden deserve the MVP he's going to get?
I think there's, first of all, here's the thing. From the Harden perspective, it is all about simply what you do in the regular season. It's a regular season award. And I don't, you know, again, we've gone back and forth on this topic in terms of we don't know the criteria. The criteria changes it from year to year. When he lost it to Curry, it was because the Warriors had a better team. When he lost it to Westbrook, you couldn't turn your back on the individual accomplishments in averaging a triple-double. But there's no way you take away the regular season MVP from James Harden. You just don't. And the, and because the award is a regular season award, there's no discussion because of the fact that no one deserves it more, has earned it more, and has put up the numbers to back it up more than James Harden. The playoffs are a different animal and a different story, and we know his track record in the playoffs. So that's something that's still to be determined. But that is, as I've said many times, I think that, you know, reputations and stardom are born in the regular season, but legends are built in the playoffs. And so if he wants to be truly legendary, then whether it's this year and or for the next years to come, he's going to do the same kind of things in the playoffs. He started off great. He had a rough start in this in game two, but he's still got plenty of time to make up for that. Now, in terms of the second part of your question, Patrick, and I'll let Nate start with this, the comparisons are inevitable. You're going to get the LeBron-MJ comparisons. I think you guys know, if you've listened to the show for any time at all, I still think Michael Jordan's the greatest player to ever grace the planet that I've ever seen. I did not see Bill Russell. I did not see Wilt Chamberlain. I'll preface it as that. And Nate, I'll let you go from there.
I will always rank Michael Jordan as the greatest ever. Now, I know Oscar Robertson was great. I've seen highlights. I didn't see him play. Bill Russell, on the other hand, has 11 rings. We know he was great. I did not see much of his games. I didn't see many of his games. But I do know this. Michael Jordan was great. Michael Jordan made big shots when big shots needed to be made. And we also, when the media could sit courtside.
Yep.
When the media could sit courtside, and I had an opportunity to watch Michael Jordan play from the courtside because I was covering that game, I had never seen a player like him, period. The only player who gave him a hassle, you know who that is. You know
Vern
who
Maxwell. Like.
Vern Maxwell is the only player who could give Michael what we'd call a little bit of a problem. Michael will still score 30. Yeah. But there wasn't another player in the league who could guard Michael or get in his head like Vern Maxwell, period.
Here's what I said. I said the one thing about Michael Jordan is that you never had to worry about the killer instinct. He had it at Carolina when he beat Indiana. He had it coming into the league, and he proved it. We're talking about the anniversary of the highest playoff scoring game by an individual in NBA history, and that's Michael Jordan against the Celtics, who were the number one seed in the entire playoffs that year, and he scored 63 points, and it goes on and on. And from there, every time there was a big shot to be made or taken, it was MJ. And if you go back and look at LeBron's career, LeBron early in his career struggled making pressure free throws at the right time. I got in trouble by the league because I was the Rockets announcer, and I said before LeBron went to the line in a key regular season game, you know he has a tendency to choke in these situations, and he might miss one. He missed both. And whether I was right or wrong, the league wanted to kill me for saying that I shouldn't have put him down like that, even though he is on the opponent. I was right. I was just telling you what I felt and
LeBron
what I saw.
LeBron was a star.
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of times early in his career, he got drilled by the media and scrutinized by basketball people because he didn't want to take the big shots. Mm-hmm. He wanted to trust his teammates,
right.
or so he
right.
said.
Pass
but a lot
ball.
Of people would said, is that trust in the teammates or not having enough confidence in yourself
there
to take the shot.
There was only one guy who could do that. That was Michael.
Michael.
Steve Kerr.
Or Paxton. Yeah.
Those were his guys. It's no telling how many hours they logged in the United Center or wherever it was where they practiced to make sure that when I kick the ball to you, you must hit that shot. Now, there's another guy we should never forget. That's Magic Johnson.
Absolutely.
He won five NBA championships. Nobody talks about Magic. Also, there's another one. Played up there in Boston with your boy McHale.
Larry Bird. Well, you're missing one, and I'm going to tell you, with the same amount of championships as Magic, Kobe Bryant, and Mario and I talked about this the other day. You talk about a guy that solidified legend. I don't think he gets enough credit to be in the discussion. Kobe Bryant was a cold-blooded assassin,
really
regular
was.
Season and playoffs. And when it came time to shoulder the load and carry a team and win a championship, that dude's will and work ethic was as close to Michael as anybody I've ever seen.
I agree. Here's the thing. You know what? To me, Kobe wasn't a pretty player. Michael Jordan was a pretty player. You know, he had the God-given natural skills and ability to get to the basket. He was just golden on the court. You know, you had those natural moves. Michael had that natural God-given moves. Kobe, to me, didn't have that. But in terms of being a guy who could really knock it down, get it done, cold-blooded killer in the time he needed to be that guy to give you that shot to get that win, there was nobody better than him.
If I'm the bad guy, though, I would put Kobe over Larry Bird. I'm sorry. Just in my book, that's just my personal opinion. I would put Kobe over Larry Bird.
Well, yeah. Bird's another guy that would like tell you to your face before he drilled the final shot. He'd call his shots. You know, he was the guy that had that killer instinct and the attitude and confidence. Some say it arrogance, but whatever it was, it got the job done. And McHale will tell you the same stories. I mean, there were times where he would come in and a coach would spend, before they had computers, a coach would spend 2 hours writing on the whiteboard all the different plays, all the different things they were doing. He'd come in and erase the whole thing before the team meeting and go, "It's cold as hell outside. We've traveled all day commercially, and you're going to tell me that we're going to sit here and let our team take it and get our butts kicked by a team that we should beat?" He goes, "Let's just go out there and kick their asses, get on the bus, get out of town, and do what we got to do to get to the next city." And he said that's all the motivation the rest of the Celtics needed. They were ready to run through a wall for that guy.
There you go.
And again, look at the three-point contest that he won. Even then, he never took his warm-up off. Most of these guys are playing. Every guy that participated shot in their game uniform. He never took the warm-up off. And on the last shot, we talk about Steph Curry and the guys that have tried to do this recently, he released it and turned and looked at the bench and basically said, "Ball game," before it even went through the net. He knew it was good. That was Larry Bird's confidence.
Nice, yeah.
But again, the other thing that we should talk about in terms of all of this is the eras are different.
Yes.
In a different era, it was a more physical style of play, a lot of more grinded outs, a lot more grueling travel schedule, everything else. This is more of the athletic finesse game now.
Play above the rim.
And that's why the LeBron-Jordan discussion is inevitable, like you said, because kids growing up watching LeBron right now, they don't remember all these other players that you're talking about.
And they don't factor in the differences in the rules. You know, you used to hand check.
Yeah.
Jordan did all this and wasn't a very physical guy. He wasn't a muscular structure. And guys on
you
the perimeter...
I
mean, he was a greyhound. I mean, he was athletic, but he was lean and he was sleek. Nowadays, you look at these guys, and LeBron could play tight end or wide receiver. You know, you get these guys that are big, physical, and they can still do all those other things. And now defenders aren't allowed to put their hands on you. Back then, Michael was doing all this, and the physical guards were putting both hands right on their hips.
But I'll say this, Joel, and it's time for us to go to a break because
we're close.
I remember seeing Michael in the back. After a game, walking down the hall, right before we interviewed him, you know, he had a 10-minute cooling off period. And I thought, man, that dude looks like a linebacker.
Really?
Yes. I thought Michael.
What point in his career? Because when he came in, that weight training
wasn't that big. No. Probably 28, 29.
Yeah, that's when Tim Grover started getting into more weightlifting.
He started looking like a big, I won't say linebacker, but more like a strong safety. He started looking like a real muscular player because he was taking so much physical abuse, getting to the basket.
The Pistons really led to that.
He had to be stronger going to the basket. So I saw him get a whole lot more muscular over the period of play. That's what I remember seeing.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I said, I don't think he got as muscular. He's definitely not as physical specimen as the guys you see in the league now.
Right.
But I think that over his career, he was smart enough. He was a smart player both on and off the floor, and he knew what it took to take care of his body.
Sure.
And he also was a freak in terms of his liver and the ability to endure nights out drinking and smoking cigars and come back and still drop right. 40 on you. So, Lawrence, hang in there. We'll get you after the break. We want to get to you and make sure that everybody gets wants to have a say-so, gets a chance. Before we get to that, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. They've been locally owned and operated here in the Houston area by Mike and Tammy Gust for over 15 years and family-owned and operated for over 30 years. And like the name says, it's wheels, it's tires, but it's so much more. But right off the top, when you're talking about wheels and tires, if you've got a tire issue or a rim issue with your car, and the big-name companies that you know who I'm talking about will have you drive in just to tell you need to replace that tire and replace that rim. That's not necessarily the case. Make sure you get a second opinion, or better yet, if you haven't got it checked out yet, go to American Wheel and Tire, because in most cases, they can repair that tire and fix that rim without you ever having to spend that extra money to get brand new. And if you do need to replace the rim or tire, they have stock rims and tires in their warehouse right down the street. So therefore, if you drove it off a dealer floor and you need to get that thing replaced, they can get the dealer parts necessary without having to go to the dealership to get it done. And while we're at it, we're talking about so much more. There's so many different things you can make that individual and great look to your vehicle that you can do right at American Wheel and Tire. And it is custom wheels and tires, but it's also Kevlar wraps. And for your SUV or your pickup truck, there's lights and steps and bumpers and all those different things that give it that one-of-a-kind look. Check out AmericanWheelandTire.com and take a look at all the vehicles around town that they've been able to customize. And in the process, think about what they can do for your car. And also realize if you have any work done right there on the premise, they have a comfortable waiting room with a window looking right at your vehicle, and their technicians are going to come in and out throughout the process to keep you informed on what's going on, what you need, and what you don't. That's just the way they do things, because like I tell you, when I endorse a company like this, it's because I've used their products, I have had their rims and tires, and I believe in what they do and how they treat their customers, and you should too. 290 and 34th Street, just outside the loop, or AmericanWheelandTire.com. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick knows me. Nate knows me.
Yes, sir.
I'm about to tell 832 ending in 4338 what you need to know about me, which is I know how to speak about things, and when I speak about them, it normally come from a perspective of knowledge. And so, therefore, for you to try to tell me what irony is and that I used it the wrong way in talking about the Mariners broadcasters, I give you this. This is called a definition. It says, irony is the expression of one's meaning by using language that normally signifies the opposite, typical for humorous or emphatic effect. Let me read that again. Typically for humorous or emphatic effect. Ironic that baseball announcers get hurt playing basketball. Opposites. See what we did there? We followed the definition. Therefore, it makes sense. And guess what it does? It makes its way onto the air. Therefore, another definition is a state of affairs or an event that seems deliberately contrary to what one expects, often amusing a result incurs. Pretty amusing with a baseball announcer that gets hurt on a basketball court. End of story. We're done. Thank you. Appreciate you participating today. And next time you want to look foolish.
Hello.
Next time you want to look foolish, 713-780-3776. Text again or hit us up on the phone call HRP listener line. We've got phone calls waiting. Lawrence, you've been waiting a long time. You want to talk about a topic that Nate and I both love to talk about. It happens to be Nick's favorite player. Let's talk about the dream.
Yeah, I was when I first got in the truck, I heard when y'all said like they had guys who trusted their teammates. I feel like Elijah Warren trusted all of them guys, because he get in the post, he'll do his little move. If he don't got it, he'll kick it out. That's how Mario Elliott got the big shot. You know what I'm saying? And Robert Ory gets the big shot.
You're right.
Yeah, I think that he needs to be in that list of people who trust their teammates. I hang up on this.
No, it's a great point. Mario was on Wednesday. We talked about this, and Mario and I do the show on the SB Nation side with Nick weekly, the two-man game. And when we talk about it, we said Rudy, who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and we that's a whole
other
topic.
Totally
right?
Agree.
But
my
Rudy
guy.
Was a guy that was way before his time, because the offense he ran back then could be run even more effectively now. And you talk about trust, Lawrence, you're absolutely spot on, because when the double teams came
And we know that he got double teams in the post. Mm-hmm. He trusted his teammates, and then he trusted his coaching staff that they put shooters around him that could make shots. That's why Mario and Kenny and Sam and Robert and Matt Bullard and all those guys, they actually financially and otherwise capitalized on the double teams of the Dream. But you're right. He definitely, in any category when you're talking about trust and unselfishness, Dream's right there.
Now, here's the one thing. You know, we always, the Nate and Crate show, when you listen to me and Patrick Crate, we always talk the Otis Bird song, four-time NBA All-Star, yep. U of H great.
OB, yep.
Lord. The deal is, he will say, but you can't miss too many shots. Okay, that's the one thing. You cannot miss too. If you expect the ball, don't miss too many shots because you might get looked off.
And Hakeem knew. I mean, he was a good passer, and he knew who to kick it out to.
Yeah.
I mean, he had options, but at the same time, he knew who to kick it out to at the right time, I felt like. So.
I agree. Yeah. But he was best, man.
And here's the other thing. Translate it to today's game. Look at Chris Paul over the course of his career. Talk to a guy like Caron Butler who played with him and did not necessarily always make those shots. There was one little bit of patience that came in the regular season. Chris Paul's the kind of guy, he didn't have any patience when he was with the Clippers in the postseason if you didn't make the shots. And let me take it one step further. James Harden a few years ago was notorious for being the guy that would throw you the ball early in the game. But if you don't make that shot,
that's right,
you might not see it again.
That's
now,
right.
It's changed a little bit.
Yep.
But for the most part, they're not stupid either. They want to win. So as much as they trust you, if they trust you and it's just either when it's not one of those nights or you're just not getting it done, they're going to find a different way to try and get the same result.
Well, with Harden, he trusted his guys a whole lot more last year. Remember, what was he, number two or number one?
That's why the assist numbers went up, too.
So, I mean, he trusted his guys. They were working on making those jumpers. And if you're a three-point shooting team, you have to be able to make jumpers. The mid-range jumpers, got to hit them, babe. Because when you need them and guys are double-teaming you, you brought that double team to you. The guy who's free should be able to make that shot.
And I think he's doing better about kicking it out. Because the problem when he was passing and trusting teammates is that he would hold on to the ball too long, drain out the shot clock.
That's another good point.
Yeah.
And he passes it too late, you know? And then the person is forced to, you know, shoot kind of a pressure shot,
exactly,
like
a bad
clutch shot.
Yeah. That's another great point. Because, again, we've talked about this throughout the course of the year, too. The difference that I've noticed between Golden State when they were successful and even Golden State now is the fact that Golden State ran an ISO game, too, where a guy might have the ball in his hands for a lot of time, but the other four guys were in constant movement, cutting, back screens, doing those kind of things. They're not doing that right now. They're starting to try to get back to it. It's going to be a bigger adjustment when Curry comes back because they're going to have to do it. The Rockets don't do it, which is okay when the two guys, main guys are getting it done, and when they do need to pass, the guys are still being open. But when you're playing a really good team in a seven-game series and they know everything that you do, that's when it's going to be interesting to see the execution on both sides of the ledger, Golden State and Houston.
Real quick, before you get right back to the phones, the thing is, Chris Paul has a sense of being able to get the ball to a guy in rhythm. And that's what you get the ball to me in rhythm. Don't get the ball to me a half a second or a millisecond later.
Right where you're supposed to get it.
There you go, man.
That's another great point that people overlook
too many
times.
Harden does not do that, man.
When you're talking about catch and shoots,
I didn't want to say that.
If you got to catch it by the side of your knee, and your feet are together, and you got to adjust on the fly, it's a lot more difficult to make the shot than when the ball is perfectly crisply put right between the nipples, and all you got to do is just catch it and use the form.
Yep,
it's a big difference. All right, Charles, you want to get in here and talk about Michael Jordan? What's up?
What's up, Charles?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing well.
Good, good.
I just wanted to touch base. I was stuck in traffic, and you guys were talking about Michael Jordan.
Yep.
And I just wanted to get your opinion on who kind of the equation and who had it, kind of has that killer instinct that Michael had and that work ethic. I don't know if you see that anymore.
Say it again, Charles. You're going in and out. You're going in and out. Can you try that? Say it?
Work ethic like Michael, I think, is what he's getting to. I think that's what he was getting to, work ethic and that killer instinct like Michael's.
Yeah, nowadays, in today's game.
There's one guy in the league who I know has it.
Go ahead.
Russell Westbrook.
See, and there's a thing that we got crapped on the other day because we were talking about Westbrook, but it's hard to overlook. And Mucci Norris even said, Nate, when you were talking about physical stature walking down a hallway, Mucci Norris was playing in the Big Three League, and they played in Oklahoma, and Russell Westbrook was sitting courtside. And he said, look, I've seen the guy on TV and everything like that, but he said, until I saw him in person, I didn't realize what a physical specimen he is.
Come on, man.
I mean, when you're talking about LeBron James to play tight end in the NFL, talking about Russell Westbrook, and we were kicking this around during a break. Can you imagine if Russell Westbrook played defensive back in the NFL?
He would be a modern-day wide receiver.
My goodness. Either side of the football, you talk about bringing the heat if he hits somebody. Uh-huh. That's like Earl Thomas in a linebacker's body, to put it in perspective.
And you're referring to the guy that crapped on us. It was just a troll. Eric Wong is
no, there was a couple on Twitter, too.
Yeah, he was like, he's a normal listener of the morning shows on ESPN 97.5, and he can call anytime he wants to. But I admittedly said I didn't think Russell Westbrook was built like that until I saw him in person. Because when I saw him in person, I mean, he's just built like a beast. And you don't know that if you're watching it on TV.
I can tell. I mean, just like Michael was the first example. That goes back. You and me, Joel? I saw Michael walk down the hallway. I said, what? I could not believe how developed this guy was. And it doesn't look like that on television because he uses such God-given abilities and moves to get to – or use them to get to the basket. When you get up close to Michael, Michael's a whole lot bigger than you think.
Oh, he was 6'6". That's thing that people don't realize. Like, Charles was 6'4". Everybody gave him credit for being 6'6". Well, he must have had some good lifts in those tennis shoes because he was 6'4". Michael was a legit 6'6", and before we got into all the days of steroids and all the chemicals that you took, Michael was as ripped as any player in the league. I will say he came in thin. I'll stick to what I said.
Yeah, he did.
He came in thin. The years and the beatings he took from the Pistons, he developed it to where he realized, if I'm going to have longevity and success in this league, but don't tell me that LeBron James, man, that athlete, and here's the craziest part about all that. At 17 years old, he was similar, almost had the same body. That's ridiculous what kind of athlete he is. So, all right, we got one segment to go on the show. Nate, I don't know where all the time would go, but we're having a good time doing it. Justin, we see you. We'll get you in here next, and we'll wrap up the show and turn it over to the Blitz. Hang in there with us. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment on what has been a spirited and fun FEF Friday show on The Usual Suspects. Yes, we do appreciate Nate Griffin joining us. That's always a pleasure.
My pleasure, man.
A first time to do this. Won't be the last because it's been a lot of fun. And I do want to say this, Nick. I give credit to 832 ending in 4338 because they had the balls to text back and say, all right, I yield, I was wrong, and I can accept that.
Every once in a while, that'll happen on Twitter too.
No, yeah. I appreciate that's good. Because
being
the
a
fact
man.
That hey,
or really
the many times I'm wrong on this show, I'll admit it. And so,
or
you know,
a woman, mm-hmm.
yeah. So that was good on your part. So we're good there. So we won't be blocking anybody today. Justin wants to get here and talk about Russell Westbrook. What's up, Justin?
Well, kind of Russell Westbrook. Y'all mentioned his work ethic and stuff, and he's I've always liked Westbrook up until recently when he insulted Whataburger. But the main thing I was noticing in this first round series is Oladipo, and my buddy of mine was talking about this, and I was going to see if y'all saw the same thing where he's just taking on so much of Westbrook. You know, I watched him in Orlando, and he goes over and OKC steals him, and he spends some time there. And to me, he's so much of his game has changed since joining with Russ. And I know, you know, we all see he got all cut up and in shape like with the gym rats there, but I don't know if y'all are seeing the same thing. I mean, I know he's on a different team, and he's kind of running the show in Indy now where he wasn't at OKC. But I just feel like he's mimicking so much of him, and it's great. He's fun to watch now, funner than he ever was. And I don't know if I'm the only one seeing that or not.
No.
I'm going to get y'all's take.
No, you're not.
No, go ahead.
No, you're not the only one seeing it. Oladipo, especially in game one against the Cavs, he let it all hang out.
Oh, he's a hell of a talent, man.
He gave it to him. And so I what I'm seeing is the development of a young guy coming into his own during the playoffs. next year we'll be talking about him being possibly a superstar.
But here's the thing that what freedom can do, because, you know, as a young guy that at least respects the game enough, you don't ruffle the feathers of Russell Westbrook when you know it's his team. So it was a struggle for him last year, because even if he wanted to do more, he was being told to do less. Because remember now, we were in the middle of the first ever triple-double for a season campaign of Russell Westbrook since Oscar Robertson. So everybody was expected to be tame and fall in line and do things so Russell could do what he needed to do. The freedom that he got when he got in, the liberating feeling of getting to Indiana, knowing I don't have to look over my shoulder and look into the shadow of Russell Westbrook anymore. I can be me. And by the way, let's not forget, he's playing in a state where he played college basketball and was highly regarded as the best player in the world in terms of their mind, because he was an Indiana basketball star. He just went off because of it, and he's allowed to spread his wings now, and you're seeing what he's capable of doing, because in all the stops he's been there before that, he's had the reins pulled back on him. This is the first time that he's been given the reins and said, go. So I think that's big. Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't work for everybody. I think that's one of those things where you got to be careful what you ask. I think Paul George, if you candidly got him without being on record, you could just talk to him freely. He probably didn't know what he signed up for when he joined the Thunder, because of the fact that he thought it was going to be Batman and Robin again, like him and Durant, and didn't realize, no, now it's Batman,
Paul George, man,
is Westbrook, and I got to play second fiddle to him, and he was the man in Indiana, and I think it's been an adjustment for him. It's been a huge adjustment for Carmelo, and it hasn't been in a positive way, as we've seen.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Paul George to Los Angeles?
It's definitely top of the list.
You know, it's got to be. If it's not Russell Westbrook to Los Angeles, but they're going to love him so much in Oklahoma City, I doubt if that'll happen. But yeah, Paul George to Los Angeles, it wouldn't bother me one bit, and I would not be surprised one bit if it happens.
Got a fantastic question on text message. I wish we had more time to get into this, but the question is, hey, Joel, how different would the NBA landscape be if Stern never vetoed the Chris Paul trade? From a Houston Rockets perspective, you have no idea what the difference between night and day is until you can contemplate that entire scenario right there. Mm-hmm. If that trade isn't vetoed, Chris Paul's a Laker, and your Rockets are stuck in purgatory for a hell of a long time, because your best player, your franchise, the guy you're basing it around, Pau Gasol. And you had given everybody away around him, and you didn't have any cap flexibility. So as much as I say this candidly to a lot of people who give Daryl Morey a lot of credit, and he deserves a lot of credit in a lot of areas, he also deserves to be thanking his lucky stars every day, because luck plays into it as much as anything else, because free agents would not be considering Houston. Dwight Howard would have never come here.
No.
You would have never been able to pull off the deal for James Harden because you didn't have the resources and you were stuck with Pau Gasol's contract at the time. Look, that's a bigger topic for a different day, but there is a lot to be said about the fact that a lot of people should thank David Stern for vetoing that Chris
Paul
trade.
And at that time, it was Kobe was still playing as a Laker, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, the only thing I could potentially see, if he did get traded to the Lakers and Kobe still had that Achilles injury, then I feel like Chris Paul would have been doing too much by himself for the Lakers.
You
anyway.
Also would have heard the critics that said those two guys can't play together, but you heard them here when they said the same thing about Harden and Paul. Look what happened, right? Yeah.
They play well together.
Yeah. And here's another great question. Would you all rather have a team with good chemistry or good talent? And I can tell you right off the top, and Kevin McHale and others will echo this over and over again, chemistry. You can have all the talent in the world. Yep. If you don't have chemistry, you ain't got a chance hell of winning.
That's right.
There's a bunch of three-headed monsters that's been around that didn't work.
And just like you mentioned, Nate, there was a team last year where ego was more important than team goals. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City wasn't trying to win a championship.
No.
They were trying to project Russell Westbrook to the record books in an MVP trophy.
That's it.
So when I always give you Rockets fans that perspective of would you rather have regular season awards or postseason victories, that's why that's what I was getting to without saying it. Mm-hmm. You can have all the regular season awards in the world, but the most important thing is if your team wins a championship.
Postseason victories. You got to like each other.
No doubt about that. So before we get out of here, Donna loves the show. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Justin's a Detroit Lions fan, so go Lions for you, Justin. Thomas wants to get in here and ask a question for Fred Fowler. he says it's hockey related, and because I called him out on it, he cut out on
Nate,
it.
Nate, are you a hockey fan?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit, yeah. I like a little hockey.
I like playoff hockey.
Playoff hockey's great.
You can't beat it, Nick.
Playoff hockey's
great, if you can watch hockey in person, it's a totally different perspective. NHL game in person is it's a great environment.
It's really
fun. You're talking about passion.
And the fan base. And there's plenty of hockey bars in Houston.
The Maple Leaf on Richmond
is
huge.
That's a great bar. The environment is really cool if you want to watch a hockey game over there, especially in the playoffs.
No
it's
doubt.
Really fun.
You're absolutely right.
I've had a great time today. There's only one thing I'm disappointed about.
What's that?
No female callers.
We always push them to the front of the list if they call. Now, Donna just texted.
We got time.
Donna called. Donna texted. She didn't call. But Donna's a loyal listener that we all know from
Goes
Beaumont.
Goes out to remotes.
Hey, Donna.
Yep. Tracy Crowley,
another
always.
Loyal.
She's loyal, but she tweets.
Lauren Pope.
Lauren Pope, for sure. Great text here. Damn, were the Mariners announcers playing pickup with Zaza? That's pretty funny. Come on, man. Now, here's my other question, Nick and Nate. Were they playing pickup half court or full? Because I'm giving them even more credit if they were playing full court.
Look, he's 64 years old.
65.
Man.
64, 65.
65.
I thought it was 64. But either way, come on. Like, he's playing pickup basketball. I want to be playing basketball at 64.
They were probably, you know, they were probably running half court, full court. You know what that is? Cross court?
Yeah, the short court.
Yeah, the short court. Full court. Yeah, short
court.
Actually, that's probably what they were running. That's good. 9 times out of 10.
Another one here. This is a good one, and we could all take our shots at this. Make my buddy look foolish, Joel. He says the Heat's going to win a championship in the next 3 years. Is he a fool? I think he's taking a hell of a gamble. I think that when you look at the landscape in the NBA and look what they have to overcome and the fact that they still have contracts on the books, which are long-term, big-time contracts for Dragic, they're going to have to pay Justice Winslow. They paid big money for Hassan Whiteside. By the way, if you missed it, he's out there bitching at his coaching staff again today. So therefore, you're locked into a long-term deal with a lot of money for a guy that's not giving you exactly what you thought you were going to get. They have a lot of hurdles to overcome. And when you look at the landscape and look at what the Rockets have, what the Warriors have, what up-and-coming teams have, like Oladipo and the Pacers, or like playoff teams, Toronto's still doing what they're doing. Hey. Simple as it gets. You got to beat who else is out there as well as making your team good. And there's a lot of hurdles to overcome if you're the Miami Heat.
Totally agree. Justice Winslow. I love to see him win a championship in Miami.
Good kid. Very, very good kid.
He is, man.
Yeah, and my buddy's sister was his associate principal in school here
St.
and said,
John's.
Just a great, great individual, great kid. You want the best for him. And Mikhail loves him. Mikhail was telling me today when I talked to him before we put him on the air, he said, I love a kid that doesn't worry about his stats. He's doing what the coaching staff asked him. Spoelstra said, get up in Simmons' jock, muscle him up, play tough defense, even, you know, all the things he was doing last night. The one thing that I'll give him that I don't think a lot of guys have the guts to do what he did, when he stepped on Embiid's goggles last night too and broke them. And Embiid had to say, look, we got 50 pair. But if you didn't, that's gamesmanship right there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's true.
I give him credit for that too. It's whatever it takes to win within the rules.
Yes, sir.
Nate, appreciate you, brother.
That's been fun.
That has been a lot of fun. And like I said, it won't be the last time.
Thank you, man.
Have a great weekend. Nicholas, appreciate you as always. And of
course, Nate.
The show is nothing without you guys. We appreciate you, the suspects. So you guys have yourself a great weekend. Strap in and take the Blitz on home with you till 7 o'clock. And we'll talk to you again on Monday where Mucci Norris makes a return and we talk more NBA playoffs. Have a great weekend, everybody out there. And we'll talk to you next week.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.